Yeah, we talked to him about that today. We did.
Call the meeting to order at, looks like, 3 after. Roll call.
All right. Director Olson, here. Director Kunkel,
here.
Director Spotty is on vacation. President Shelley?
Here.
All right. You have a quorum.
Wonderful. Any public comments? Yes. Yes.
Hi, my name is Carrie Godfrey, and I'm the property manager of the building at located at 25870 Highway 243. On April 20th, the owners were notified that the Idlewild Water District would be conducting a sewer audit on April 25th, giving us 5 days' notice. This multi-use building. The auditor arrived and conducted his audit by basically counting sinks and toilets and categorizing spaces. The next day, the owners received a notice that the district intended to raise the building sewer rates by basically 650%. Okay? One up four times, okay, than what they've been paying. We called the district to ask for a reassessment based on property usage because the increase did not make sense given none of the following were taken into consideration for the multi-use spaces. The size of the space wasn't taken into consideration, business hours and usage, customer foot traffic, water entering the property, and wastewater leaving the property. We were told that that it wasn't possible because the board set the standards, rates for all types of properties, and that we would have to take our concerns on the board. So that's why I'm here today, to take on my concern with the board. Given the uniqueness of this building, we are requesting that the board reconsider the set standards for this multi-use building for the following reasons. 2 of the 400 square foot spaces are commercial. One space with a small sink, which is rarely used. The second is a small salon with 2 hair sinks and 1 standard sink. Both of these businesses have shortened business hours. The first is used Monday through Thursday from 9 to 2. And the salon is open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 11 to 4, servicing only regular customers. Both have access to 1 toilet and a single sink bathroom. Neither business has customer foot traffic. The office has 1 office clerk employee and holds board meetings off-site. The other 2 spaces are small residential spaces being used periodically. The standard set fee does not give the owners the opportunity to reduce their waste or their water sewer bill by reducing usage, therefore wastewater. The owner has improved the building and has updated all plumbing and replaced 3 toilets with low flow appliances. The salon, which you have assessed as a 3-unit standard, is particularly an unfair assessment. The sewer costs alone would amount to about 1/3 of their lease amount for the small space. In order for the businesses in Iowa to survive and flourish, your fees have to be reasonable and should be based on usage of water and release of wastewater into your system versus average standard rate. And finally, a 650% increase is certainly an unexpected expense and not fair and reasonable increase by any standard. The increase will hurt the bottom line of the owner and the small businesses trying to survive in this already difficult economy. In our case, we are not one-size-fits-all property, and these set standards do not make sense for the multi-use building. The owners have worked very hard to set their rental pricing at fair and reasonable standards for the Idlewild area. If you do not reconsider, the owners will have to price their rents higher than Idlewild standard rents, and unfortunately, possibly make these small businesses move elsewhere. I appreciate your time and consideration on this matter, but I don't know that you can answer tonight, but I'd like somebody to, you know, send us a response to this.
Hey, can I ask you who you talked to?
Iowa.
Thank you.
Then I can show you the water bill from the difference from last time
and
to this time, water and sewer bill difference from last time to this time.
I'll talk with you about this. I don't I'm kind of miffed because typically those would come to me.
Okay.
So,
name my phone number.
I got your name. Give me your phone number, please.
619-894-0375.
The lodgers.
Forever.
Where
is
your property?
It's right on Highway 43.
Just around the corner?
Yeah, just around the corner.
Has it got a title on it?
Yeah, just the corner.
So it's just on the other side of the Ranger
right.
Property?
Exactly.
I'll give you a call, we'll talk.
Okay.
And beyond the cost. First I've heard of this, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Beyond the cost is what it'll be.
Yeah.
To be gotten out. What, 5 or 6?
We have through 2 offices and 2 residential.
Yeah, it's a typical Idaho identification. Thank you, Steve. Oh, you mean it's past the old, that other way. It's one building past Picasso. Okay, now we know what we're talking about.
Jack Tabor's
old building, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And before that?
Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments.
I was reading over the paper and I want to make sure I understand it correctly. My name is Diane Darcy. I live on Pinecrest and I buy a lot of water. It's just that under this back page where it talks about the changes, it says the rate for Tier 1 is going to increase, not quite 100%, but quite a bit. It could go over 400 cubic feet. But it decreases for Tier 2.
Yes.
How does that encourage conservation for Tier 2?
When they did the study, they found, I'm so sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
they found most of the average, like consumed between 300 to 400 cubic feet. So they say this is the rate for everyone, like 400 would be the same for the rate. But they remove station number 3, which is 20 cents, which is care for some residential. They're using more than 400, it would be uniform rate, 8 cents. So they found like, it would be, because one of the big problems before we have a separate between commercial and residential. Right now, both residential and commercial go the same way. So no separation. So they found 8 cents would be the average rate for more than 400 cubic feet.
So, but then it fixed commercial Tier 2?
Yes.
How does that encourage conservation of water? For
commercial, to be honest with you, it depends about business. When I sell more cells, I get more money, and they pay the 8 cents. So this is the only thing. But most of the residential, they consume between 300 to 400, like for commercial, they, with all due respect, they don't care for conservation offices. It depends about the sales. If I'm a restaurant, whatever, yeah.
I understand that, but then by reducing their rate, to me, unless I misunderstand, it discourages office conservation.
I have only answer for this part, which like 8 cents ago with the residential commercial.
No, but her point is well taken, that if you use more water, you get a lower rate.
It's the same thing for it, but before we have a 20 cents, we're on the 20 cents for this one.
Yes, but her point is well taken. Usually when you're trying to encourage conservation, you charge more the more water they use. And so if you go to another tier, the rate would go up to encourage you to save more. So point well taken, thank you.
In addition, you know, nobody's fault. I'm a senior citizen. I have a fixed income now.
Just barely though.
Yeah. Where commercial properties have the opportunity to raise their charges
fees. Yeah.
To compensate for the water if they need to, or I don't have that benefit. I'm not worried about me. I'm concerned with water. What I'm looking at is, I certainly question that decrease for commercial properties.
Should be equitable to all.
Well, it's not. I mean, we have water this year, but we won't always. We know that. If we know the properties with it loaned 40 years ago, we know we won't always have water. And to hedge against that in the future, this concerns me.
Thank you.
And we have a little study for shortage water is coming in December. So this only for stage one when we have a normal condition.
Any other public comment? Steve?
I'll go back to the water increase, or the water rate increase layer. I am on both, I do water and sewer. And if I'm looking at it right, my bill is going to come up 21% if you have 8.13. It's tough.
You have to actually average those and then take each bill, because it doesn't, it's not cumulative. It doesn't, you don't also go up 13% on your sewer, and you don't also go up 8% on your water. The individual bill is raised, so it's not a cumulative raise. Mathematically, that's how you look at it.
It's not 8% on my water bill as well as 13% on my sewer bill?
Right, but that's not 21% raise. That's an 8% raise on $10 is 8 more, right? And then on your $20, it's 13% more, but it's not 21% more on this bill and 21% on this bill.
Okay. What my point is, and I'd like to make it for the community as a whole, when we're going out 5 years, it's a huge increase on the bills.
Yes.
If you look at 5 years.
Yes. Yes.
When we're talking about the sewer, we need to replace the sewer gizmo and all that. If there's any way that we could, and I know it's hard to recruit you guys because then you'd have to come back in 3 years, but maybe like a 3-year program and then see where you are at that time.
Well, the requirements is a 5-year, and if we do a 5-year raise.
What? The 5 years, it's a requirement.
It's a requirement, yeah. It's a requirement to do 5 years. And if 3 years goes out and we see that we're doing much better than anticipated, we can lower the rates right away. We just can never go higher than what we've established.
The other thing that I'd like to make a comment is that we need 50% of people to write in as a right, either on the sewer or on the water. Do I get two bettors, do I send in, or can I put my right on?
If you specify what that you're opposed to both, yeah, you can just do one letter, but you have to specify that it's to both.
Because getting 50% of the vote of everybody in the whole area, you'll get 10 gripes because nobody pays any attention to their water bill. I mean, a few of us do, but to get somebody to write a letter, and you get 50% of the vote in a general election.
It's very difficult, yes. Yeah. Any other public comments? Mrs. Muir.
Two questions. How many sewer hookups do you have?
587.
How many?
587.
587. How many companies are here in your district?
For water, 1676.
1676.
About a quarter of your houses in your district are sewer. Most everybody else is on septic.
No, yes.
So they're not paying into the sewer. So the majority of the people are not paying on the sewer. It's only a half of 500 and something.
Yes.
Are paying for the entire district.
So yeah, one seventh.
I don't think a lot of people know that. I think they think all Iowa is on sewer.
Which
are not intended to be the way we set the measure. It's never intended to be that way.
Yes.
Okay. Who sets the 5 years that you're required to do 5 years? Is that the state, the county?
State.
The state of California makes you do 5 years.
Yes.
Shame on.
Well, we could do that all day, but we don't have time.
Did that take effect fairly recently?
No, that's been around for a while, because we did a 5-year rate study 5 years ago.
I know that.
And before that, I'm not sure because I wasn't here, but I imagine it's been around for at least 15 years.
It's been around a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's the maximum you can do, right? It's 5 years?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't go any further than 5 years.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's better to go up. It's easy to go down. So if the board decided in the future the sewer got a grant, so the board can require to go down.
Any other public comments? No?
Really, Thomas, I have more of a question than a comment, so...
We're not good with questions, just so you know the protocol. Oftentimes we have to give you a blank stare because we're not allowed to, unless it's on the agenda, actually give you an answer, but we'd be happy to listen.
Okay, I guess my comment would be, I've learned a little bit about pipe size that's coming into the property, and I've had a lot of discussions with the fire station. Also, what I'm trying to learn here is, if you, Marsh mentioned this earlier, if you have a house that's newer and you've got sprinkler systems and a wider pipe and the access to the needed water is being, it's more easily accessible, is the fee schedule designed to be the same increase if you have an older house? I have a 50s house, it's really small pipes. Does the pipe size affect this? Is that being considered when they're raising the rates? Is it like a general, we're going to raise the rates on everybody? What is the same input? Is that what all the calculation is being considered as just the input? That's what I'd like to learn a little more about here.
I can briefly answer that.
Okay.
The rates that we use are, you have a standard monthly fee, which Marge has a different name for that, but we won't go into that. But you have a monthly fee that you pay because of the size of your meter.
Okay.
And then you have water usage that you're going to pay for. And the water usage, it doesn't matter how big your pipes are, it's how much water goes into your house or into your lot, and you pay for that water.
So the increase is based on, you're already paying this amount for the size. That's your percentage. So people are going to have different amounts.
Right, so the increases that we're talking about are on the water usage, and there is also a part of that that is your monthly fee that's going up also.
And I'm not about water and sewer.
Right. And so your sewer fee is going to go up.
But not based on?
No.
No, because there is no meter. It's just you put in, and we don't even know how much that you put into the sewer system. And frankly, I don't think we should measure that because it'd be really sneaky.
No, I don't think it's even possible.
Oh, it's possible, but we don't want to go there.
I'll look forward to learning the differences, because I'm going to have more than one increase. Is what it's looking like.
Well, you'll have one increase on your water, and you'll have one increase on your sewer. Then the next year, you'll have another increase, then another increase. For 5 years.
5 years.
Well, on top of the last five that we've had.
No, yeah, she's talking about her.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Talking about Robin.
Yeah. You're on. Yeah.
And that was both accounts for me.
She's commercial.
Anything else?
That's all.
Thank you so much. Any other public comments? No? Okay. We'll move into the consent calendar. Any comments on the minutes? Mr. Olson or Mr. Cumber?
No.
Okay. Any comments on the financials, Mr. Cumber or Mr. Olson?
No.
Okay. Any comments on...
Other than thank you for making the variances go the positive way. If they're positive, they're positive numbers.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Any comments on the operations report, Mr. Olson?
No.
Mr. Cumber?
No.
I was very happy to see the loss down 7%.
-7%.
Wasn't it?
I saw a 7. I didn't see a negative. I would have had to put on my glasses.
It's actually a negative when you took more out of storage.
Then that's kind of weird.
It is.
Okay. All right.
Don't get used to it. It doesn't happen often.
No.
But,
no.
Operationally, we had to do some things and they took more out of storage than normal.
Oh. That would account for some things that I've heard. That's great. Okay. Any public comments on the consent calendar? No? Excellent. Entertain a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay. All in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Passes 3-0. General Manager's report.
doing okay. We're about 300,000, oh, 400,000 to the good overall, district-wide. About 200,000 to the good on the water side. Part of that is because we had a project that we were trying to get going, and we haven't been able to spend the money on that project yet. And then on the sewer, it's kind of situation normal. We tend to have a pretty good influx of revenue off of that. And it's all positive in the fact that any additional monies that we're able to put into the reserves can be used to offset the cost of the sewer project that has to be built. Water data just gives you an idea where we're at. We're looking pretty close to average in use of water, water supplies to the system. We're a little above year-to-date average. Year-to-date average is 2.7. We're at 2.10 in the way of acre feet. I want to back up. That actually kind of looks like we're getting back to normal, to be honest with you, because it was a little down. On the wastewater, we had a big spike. That big spike is the influx and inflow into the system from all the storms we had. It's an anomaly. I suspect that that line is going to dramatically drop when we get to the April information. That's through March. But that's actually a good indicator to show you just how much influx you can have. And we already had some influx, and then it kind of helps in, and then we got more. So it's kind of an indicator. And it puts us way above year-to-day average. In fact, we're setting a record at the moment. However, that could, you know, lower itself down over the next couple of months. I went to the Aqua Spring Conference. Aqua is the Association of California Water Agencies. I actually serve on three of their committees, the Groundwater Committee, the Local Government Committee, and the Regulatory Committee. And two of these met. The Regulatory Committee did not meet at the conference. We'll have another meeting, I think it's next month. Just an example of what the conference looks like. One to the left here, they're talking about the California airport and the requirement that we're going to have to follow as time goes on regarding electric vehicles. The other side is Finance 101, and they were talking about financing available projects and how to keep a district functioning in a positive manner. This is what I was talking about. This is the California Air Resources Board. There's a SB 7372. I've kind of known about this. We've kind of brought this up a while back. This was a very big topic of discussion all through the conference. By 2045, we have to have zero emissions, medium and heavy duty truck fleets. To give you an example, it means your fire trucks are going to have to be electric. It also means that any vehicle we have will have to be electric. And what they're not telling you in this, what they are saying out loud, is that also includes things like backhoes and bulldozers. So it's really kind of interesting. As of January 1 of 2020, SB1 came into law, allowing only vehicles that are compliant with the regulations are allowed to register with DMV. And that, it's kind of odd, that comes into play, but then January 1st, 2023, all fleet vehicles must be updated to 2010 standards or newer. Anything less than 2010, we're supposed to dispose of technically immediately.
Is this from government agencies or what?
This is
from the state on governmental agencies.
How many vehicles? What does the water district have?
Lots of vehicles.
Not electric.
As a matter of fact, they don't make electric vehicles that we need.
That are powerful enough. I mean, there's got to be a loophole. You can run a backhoe if you have.
There is a loophole until 2045 on a few vehicles. Basically, for the lack of a better term, 2045. Not to 2045. There will be no gas fuel or natural gas in California.
That is
the objective of that building. Okay? I'm not making this up. This is, we had a real heavy discussion for 3 days ago.
Is there some recycle program? We can refund that in credit for the system?
No. As a matter of fact, if you're not in compliance and they find out you're not, they will come over to your place of business, take the vehicle that is not in compliance, and drill a hole or hole straight through your engine block.
I mean, is the metal program still available? We go through, I know, you know.
Well, you can always scrap it. But I'm saying if you have a vehicle that's not in compliance and they find out, they'll drill a hole through your block.
No recyclable credit?
Nope. Not really. Just metal scrap. And then, now we have to, beginning this year, we have to have a separate registration for our medium and heavy vehicles with the airport. And they're going to be monitoring. We have to submit annually our fleet, our vehicles, the type of motor they have, the engines, whether it's gas or diesel, the year, all of this.
It's due every year.
And there's more to come.
Is there a solar on this office?
Yes. Yeah, we have solar on the back side. So, I just kind of wanted to bring that up because of all the conversations about water rights and everything else, this was the biggest conversation of everything.
At the
Aqua Conference. Every district was having fits about this. Because some of these things are supposed to be in play now. Like, you have to be real candid. Like our pickup trucks. Right now, we're supposed to convert half of our fleet in the next 5 years to an electric vehicle.
With what funds? What is the state providing us?
No, this is on you. This is on us. There are no financial
aid.
Yeah. But there's no grant, there's no.
Oh. They keep talking that they're going to be putting us together, but in case you haven't noticed, the state's broke. So, this isn't going to happen. It's going to be on all the districts and all the governmental agencies. And the other aspect, and we've had this conversation multiple times, they don't have the power grid and infrastructure to handle 1% electric vehicles. What are they going to do when you have 10% in the next 5 years? And what are you going to do when you have 50% in the next 15 to 20?
It's going to be interesting.
It's not going to happen.
So Leo, all of your, so you're saying most of your vehicles are older than 2010?
No. But over the next 5 years, we're supposed to convert 50% to electric. And that's where the rub comes in. There's a little bit of, they have some grandfather clauses. And some of those can work to our advantage, but that's not their intent.
Yeah.
They're going to just, you know, you're not 50% compliant, we're going to penalize you. They're going
to. And because it's a state, if the state miraculously turns to Republican, it could be overruled.
God, one could hope. But this is the law, as we said.
Yes.
And this is what we have to play with.
Isn't this district with county?
Huh?
Isn't this a county district?
It's actually a special district within the county.
Yeah.
But we're still part of the state.
Who is the contact to find about or develop plans? Who's the county contact to find out about grants and have grants developed?
Aqua's involved in trying to develop grants for this.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just saying, and I can ask Marge because she's one working on Aqua Marge plants back there, and that's how I'm learning all this stuff as I go. I'm saying so that the fourth of the people who are on sewer, like myself as a single mom, are not being charged more on our sewer. Instead, let's just get a grant to fund y'all so y'all are happy and the actual homeowners are happy.
Well, we're working on that too. That's a different. Subject
matter. But who is the contact? Does Marge already know? I'll send emails, letters, and phone calls.
Well, I have to be honest with you, we've actually hired someone to try and help us out with that. So we're working on that. We're also going to start working on trying to see if we can't get some funding, grant funds for water projects.
Okay.
because we talked about that actually today. That
I'm going to leave brochures on everybody's door.
We would love to work with it, but you know, there's still areas that have to be cleared up to fully understand where we're going to go and how it's going to happen. So,
but yet we're having the new fee schedule implemented in July.
Yes.
So this is very time sensitive.
The new that doesn't include this.
That does not include this
because right now we're in compliance.
Yeah.
But it's the next 5 years that we're going to start looking at this. It's horrible.
I love numbers. Why
would
I?
Yeah. Well,
oh. No.
Yeah, I know.
It's not.
You got a lot of motor grids in here with you, so.
We'll see about that.
just an overview. We're preparing the budget. We worked on it today. In fact, the budget committee met this morning. There's a town hall meeting for the proposed rates. That would be Tuesday, May 30th, and Wednesday, May 31st, both at 5 p.m. right here in this room. We're going to have a special board meeting on Wednesday, June 7th. That's to interview potential directors. We have a budget workshop that will be on Saturday, June 10th. Yeah, I can give you this as far.
Well, it's in my phone.
And then, Saturday, June 10th, 10 a.m., right here in this room, we'll have our annual budget workshop, and we will have lunch being served out at the water treatment plant at noon-ish. And IWD had a bunch of files with the previous general counsel, and it all got moved over to the best testing trigger. So that was actually very positive, very good. Appreciated their efforts on this. We knew this was going to happen in time, but it was just a matter of when it happened. So we appreciate all their efforts. And
is this going to be raised differently? There's one, I got an ADU, 1 meter going in, one subject going out, but I have another, so that's just wrong.
How many meters do you have? That's your water meter, so that's going to be your water usage.
And then septic?
Nothing to do with that.
Well, septic, you're not on the sewer.
Yeah.
I mean, how did you say septic?
Okay. You're not on septic.
No.
Okay.
No.
You're on sewer.
Yeah.
And it's just residents. Mm-hmm. And you're probably just one ED.
One ED.
Even though I got that guest house.
Oh, if you get a guest house, then you're going to charge too. Then you have two EDUs. EDU stands for equivalent dwelling unit. So if you have a dwelling unit, then that's an EDU and that's chargeable. And if you have two, then that's two. You can charge for two. And some people like to say, well, it's just really small. Yeah, well, sorry.
Unfortunately,
that's
not.
But the other thing is we can't opt out of the sewer. I've already looked into that because I pay for all of the septic systems in 7 years with my plan right now. But I have the choice to disconnect from sewer.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's the city law.
That's why I don't
know
anywhere that.
That's correct.
Yeah, you won't find that anywhere that appears. State law.
Okay. And I'm talking about
her.
She's teaching a lot.
She's right. She knows a lot. We talk to her all the time.
She's been around a lot.
Yeah.
She knows.
She's been around a couple of blocks.
More than a few.
Leo, real quick, town hall meetings, did we put that in the paper or what?
We did.
I think I sent a circular as well.
Yeah,
those online.
We did. We did a couple for the newspaper and for the bin.
Yeah.
And for the Twitch.
So it's town hall, but it's
here? Yeah, sorry, we call it.
We call it a town hall meeting.
Oh.
It's not the town hall.
Yes,
the town hall meeting for rates.
Not meant to confuse anybody, trust me.
Yeah, any questions?
Okay. Any public comment? No, good. All right, we'll go on to discussion item number 3, Employee Manual, Chapter 5. I'm only usually the only one that comments on this, but I'll give others an opportunity just out of courtesy. Mr. Olson?
I'm looking forward to your comments.
Excellent. Mr. Kuckel?
He stole my line.
Okay.
Next time you can go first.
Yeah, it's pretty short today. Section 5.2.1 is paid holidays. There's 13 paid holidays. In the next section there, it goes over how they're distributed, kind of. So if somebody's on a 410 and they're working Tuesday through Friday and there's a Monday holiday, do they get paid for that Monday holiday?
Yeah.
Okay, great. That question's done and over with then, good. Next question is on 5.8.4, and this is an easy one too, so this is going to be really quick. We still have in effect a stipend for 6 miles, living within 6 miles of the district headquarters here, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. And what is that current payment?
It's $350 a month.
$350. Okay. How many employees currently get that?
One, two, three.
Three. Thank you very much. That's all I have. Yeah. I don't think any changes need to be made. Just want to get clarified on that. Action items. Any public comment? No? Good. Action items. Building ad hoc committee update. We'll listen to the building committee and their update.
We requested a second bid on the remediation of the mold in the offices downstairs. That bid came in at $21,000, roughly, give or take, compared to the $36,000 bid that came in from Servpro. We have been in contact with, as a matter of fact, we spoke this morning with the firm that that gave us the $21,000 bid. And one of the questions we asked was, does that include the remediation of the potential asbestos in the ceiling? And he said, no, that just is for the mold. And he said, if there's asbestos in the ceiling, he would advise us that it would be a good idea to get an analysis of the various items, whether it's the floor, whether it's the popcorn ceiling, or anything else, before we start removing things from the area. Because the last thing we want to do is start crashing walls, crashing ceilings, crashing floors, and spreading asbestos dust everywhere. That would cause some serious problems. So I think that the plan that we came up with was that we were going to, he was going to, I don't know if he gave us those this afternoon or not, if he got back to us yet, on recommendations for people who can do the analysis. They'll come out, take some samples, take it back to their lab, and then they will give us the report on whether there's asbestos in the popcorn ceilings, if there's asbestos in the walls, there's asbestos in the floor. Once we have that, then if it comes back negative, the thought is we're going to move forward with the $21,000 remediation. If there is no asbestos in the popcorn ceiling, he may be able to remove it for an additional fee, or we could have whoever is doing the construction to put it back together, thinking that that's the plan, they could remove the popcorn ceilings.
If it's positive, you need to.
If it's positive, then we're going to need to bring in a licensed asbestos remediation team to take care of that. And that sounds like, at least from my perspective, my recommendation to the board would be that's a very good thing to do. And I think that's it for now. And we're waiting until we get that report. Once we get that report from the asbestos testing company, then we'll determine what next steps would be, or we're going to recommend what we think next steps should be. Any questions, Mr. President?
President?
No. Mr. Kunkel, do you have any comments?
No, I think you covered enough. We're just waiting for some more data before we see how to maybe proceed.
Excellent. Any public comments? Steve?
Time frame, did they give you any?
On the asbestos testing, we haven't contacted the company yet. We're getting recommendations. Sometime we expect we'll get the recommendations this week. And as soon as we have the recommendations, we will move forward with getting quotes. We'll find the lowest cost provider to come out and give us. But at this point,
the one that said the 21,000, and assuming there's no asbestos problem, did he give you a time frame on how long did it take to do it?
I don't know that he did.
3 weeks to do the removal for the mold, but he cannot do.
Did he say 3 weeks?
Yeah, but the only thing I corrected the first paragraph, he doesn't know that there are.
Yeah, got that. But he takes a good part of the 3 weeks.
3 weeks to get the mold.
Yeah. I want to congratulate the party here that did this, because 21,000 sounds a lot better than the 200,000 was thrown out originally.
Well, that's just for the remediation of the mold.
Right.
Yeah.
There's additional costs that are going to be on top of that to put the building back together.
Yes.
Presuming that's the path we head down.
Still like the lower numbers.
I think it helped.
Mitch?
A couple questions, because we're within X feet of a highway for women to pay regulations. I wonder if that's the reason why one guy's 36,000, one guy's 21,000, because from what I remember, if you're within X amount of feet of the state highway, you get paid prevailing wages.
If it's a company request, it would be like Houston Heights, a company, they request to pay prevailing wages. But if it's like corporation, sometimes they ask like that. It's a sole property.
But in this particular case, the first bid was the removal of the asbestos. They made the assumption by looking at it, that's the asbestos. They also assume it's in the floor.
Because it's not okay.
Yeah. So their whole bid was everything. Take everything out, take the asbestos out, do the mold remediation. Thank you. I can never say that word.
I know you don't like that.
I hate that word. And do all of that for the 30 some odd
36,000.
30, yeah, 36,000.
So.
And when you take a look at the 21, and now we do the testing, it may be the same amount, if not more, because if it's asbestos, you're still going to have to go through the same process we already have bid for.
And we may end up, if that's the case, if there is asbestos, we may end up back with a $36,000 quote with CertPro.
So $36,000 covers basically supposed to cover it all.
Just
the ceiling and floor.
The remediation of the mold and the removal of the asbestos.
$36,000 worth of demo.
But not putting it back.
Right. Correct, yeah.
It's basically going to be studs. It's just going to be studs left. If that. Because
and the 21,000 doesn't cover what you're saying is the ceiling and the floors.
Right.
So really the 36,000.
It doesn't remove, it doesn't cover, it just covers the mold remediation. If there's asbestos, it's not part of their.
36,000 covers the asbestos, the 21,000 does not.
The 36,000 assumes that there is asbestos and does cover it. Yes.
Yes.
Any other public comments? No? Great. We'll look for them. Go ahead.
What are the efforts made to get this data out? Where is this all shared at?
Which data?
I'm seeing here there's the mailing address. I just found out this for the first time, by the way. It's telling you where you're supposed to mail in to see if you want to come in and talk about arguing the rates.
If you want to protest.
That was sent to everybody in Idlewild that has a P.O. box, and it was sent to every ratepayer in Idlewild.
And then online, digital?
It's all online on our website, and we put an ad in the paper.
There.
Yeah, it's online.
Yeah. Okay, what, was there a plan to reach more people?
Well, that's what the...
How many folks showed up? Thank you.
Well,
that's one of the reasons it's going to be on the town hall meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some people may just be getting that. I'm sorry, just got my name. I just found out yesterday. It was the first time, but I missed.
Yes, they were just there.
They were just mailed out, yes.
Okay. Well, I have to check my mail.
And the other thing, if you have any questions, feel free to call. Because we're talking to a lot of people now in advance. So if you got any questions, don't hesitate calling. We're more than happy to talk to you about it.
Okay.
All right. I don't think that there's any thing to be further talked about on item number 4, so we'll go to item number 5. Item number 5 is Resolution 790, Water Standby Assessment for Fiscal Year 2023-2024. We will open up the public hearing to consider approving Resolution 790 for Water Standby Assessment Fees for Fiscal Year 2023-2024 for undeveloped parcels within the Idaho Water District Water Service Area. The hearing is now open. Any public comments? No. Mr. Olson, any comment?
This is just for fiscal 23-24.
Yes.
We do this every year. We update every year.
Yes.
That's my only question. Thank you.
Mr. Cullen?
No question.
Excellent.
How many lots are there that are undeveloped?
150 for water, 100 for sewer.
What?
150 for water and 100 for sewer.
And these rates really haven't changed year after year. This is still the same.
Okay. $30 per acre.
How much is that? No, I'm asking. What's the same by fee? How much?
Why? I got $15,000 total. That I can pay. Not that much.
And we don't get it every month, we just get it once a year?
Once a year.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah. Once a year. It's the once a year tax fee, basically.
And everybody put a meter, we remove everything.
Yeah, okay. There's no further comments, I'll entertain a motion to approve. All right, I gotta close.
No,
go ahead.
So with the rate increase, you don't increase that standby fee either then? Just
it's engineering study, I cannot increase it by myself, we need to hire an engineering company to do it. And Mr. President asked about the last year if we can hire a company. But it's being think like it's not equal to collect $15,000.
Right. And is it a different fee if they're developing a larger unit, bigger unit, multiple units?
It depends. The acre is $30. If you have 5 acres, you pay $150 per unit. If you have 6 acres, you pay $180 per unit.
If you have less than an acre, it's $30.
Yes.
So any $30 per acre or any portion
of undeveloped.
Undeveloped properties.
All right. We'll close the hearing at this time. And we'll entertain a motion to approve the Resolution 790 for the Water Standby Assessment Fees for Fiscal Year 23-24.
I want to put a motion here to approve Resolution Number 790, Water Standby Assessments for Fiscal Year 2023 and 2024.
I second. Excellent. Any further discussion? None heard. We'll take a vote. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Passes 3-0. We'll move on to item number 6, which is very, very, very similar to item number 5. This is just the sewer portion. Before we were voting on the water standby fees, now we're voting on the sewer standby fees. So the Board of Directors will hold a public hearing to consider approving Resolution 791 for the sewer standby assessment fees for fiscal year 2023-2024 for undeveloped parcels within the Idaho Water District, District Number 1, and there is only one district, and it is Number 1. So we will open the hearing at this time. Any public comments?
Did those people get a notice?
Those people?
The people that are on standby for the sewer?
Yes, sir.
Everybody that we have an address for, we send them a notice.
Yes, sir. And we did it a public notice at the newspaper.
Oh.
But so many of them are not here.
If we have their address, we send them a notice. And we have their address usually because we like them to pay their bills. And so we usually keep up on that.
When did it go out?
When we started the process or not?
Oh, this was the one.
Yeah. We're stuck too long.
You didn't throw away your notice, did you?
Yeah, I did try. No, I'm not on staff.
Okay, all right. Any other public comment? Mr. Olson, any comment?
No.
Mr. Conkle?
No.
Okay, if there's no further comments, I'll entertain a motion to approve. Oh, wait.
Close the hearing.
Close the hearing.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Thank you.
791.
Is there a second?
I second.
Excellent. Any further discussion? All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Passes 3-0. On to item number 7, Water Shortage Contingency Plan, Ordinance Number 66. The Board of Directors will consider adjusting conservation stage 2 to stage 1. General Manager, comments?
Since we didn't officially do a resolution or anything like that,
to go into stage 2?
To go into stage 2 originally? This is kind of, unless I'm misunderstanding, this is more of a formality to get back to stage 1.
Excellent.
That's all I got.
Excellent. Any public comment?
I just remember at last meeting when you tried to do it, you said the signs are down. So that was the informal.
Yeah.
This is the resolution.
Well, I made a comment totally in jest, and if it was taken inappropriately, I apologize. But I figured when the snow was covering the signs, we were out of the stage 2. That was personal opinion. That's not district policy. Yeah.
But it is common sense.
All right, if there's no other public comments, Mr. Olson, any comment?
No.
Mr. Conkle?
No.
I'm not sure that we really need to vote on this, but let's go ahead, because if you do vote on it, it is an action item, you don't get in trouble.
I move that we move from stage 2 to stage 1.
My second copy.
Excellent. Any further discussion? I have one further discussion. There's nothing lower than stage 1, is that correct?
No. Okay. Just no more conditions.
This is basically operation normal.
Okay.
DEFCON 1.
Just checking. Thank you. With that in mind, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Passes 3-0.
Okay. We have a couple items for closed session.
Okay. We'll take a short break, a 5-minute break, and go into closed session. After closed session, if anyone wishes to stay outside for, who knows, anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour, you can, and we will come out of closed session and announce anything that has happened that is announceable.
Yeah. I can share with you right now that there will be no reportable action.
What does 3-0 mean?
That's how many people voted. 3 people voted, nobody against.
And they had to be against.
Awkward. Let's get their act together. This is how it should be handled.
Which board?
Like the realtor's board.
Oh.
It's never accepted.
This is how everybody should
be. It'd be better when we have our 4th and 5th seats filled.
Yeah.
Sometimes
fourth person is
I want to sit in just so I can get used to
it. Robert's Rule of Orders is the simplest thing.
Simpler than Robert's Rules of Order. Robert's Rules of Order are very complicated.